Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and once again, I'm joined in the studio by pastor and educator Gary Cox.
Good to be here.
And Gary, we've been having fun talking over the last couple broadcasts. On catching little foxes has been kind of the theme of our last couple conversations. The idea of trying to get at the root of issues when they're smaller than when they become bigger. And, of course, the policy level, the cultural landscape is the really big problems. But they all originate in these smaller issues. So sometimes it's difficult as Christians to look at the big mess and say, where do we even begin? And the great news is that God says, oh, well, you know, actually it's pretty simple. Why don't you just start in your own home with your own family? That's where this all begins. So we're going to kind of conclude our discussion today with turning towards what we're calling the application of kind of all this in a practical sense when it comes to what do we do as Christians? We have this responsibility given by God to have spiritual care for our children. Every Christian parent is called to disciple their child, and to help them understand God's design. But we live in a culture that is inherently anti-God. It's anti-God's design, and it's that way because Satan has been let loose, as it were, to kill and steal and destroy. He's deceiving, so people are being deceived and not understanding what's going on. So we have that kind of backdrop that we're seeking to disciple our kids in, and sometimes that puts us in conflict with not just the culture but even government authorities. And you gave a really great testimony about the history of Wellspring Christian Family Schools. Walkersville Christian Family Schools as it began and then eventually did become Wellspring, and how God blessed the creativity but also the faith and the conviction that you and your wife had to just simply live out the simple reality that God had called you to disciple your children and to educate them. And you didn't grab a sign and go start a revolution. You didn't march. You began to creatively look for ways to work with the governing authorities to live out your conscience. And the result is a ministry now, an education ministry, a non-public school, private school. It's been around for over 40 years. We have an impact beyond just the state of Maryland now and in states across the country and even internationally. So we are in this situation now of a culture and an education system that is really opposed to these ideas. And the challenge now for Christian parents is what do you do? How do you go ahead and actually try to help your kids get a good education while not putting them in the tsunami of really demonic deception that the public education system has become? And so what do you say to parents who they're upset about the system, they don't like the system, they want an alternative? How do you encourage them to kind of step out and to do something different?
Well, foundationally speaking, we're talking to Christians. And so we continually reiterate the fact that the Christian's conscience towards God with respects to understanding and obeying and having the vision that God has for family and then fulfilling that vision because it's your vision. I mean, you can't really live in somebody else's vision. And so, you know, it's one of those things back when we started our school, I realized Maryland has this incredible liberty law, the law of liberty here to do what we're doing. And nobody's doing it. In fact, I was told by the lawyer, it's going to be considered strange by a judge if you have to go and explain your case before a judge. So I thought back then, wow, if you don't practice the liberty you have, then you're going to lose it. The church must do what it's supposed to do. So, you know, we are and were a small church, and we decided that, okay, we're going to operate an educational institution because the law provides it, and we're going to do it, and that's going to be the foundation. And that's actually where the whole process came about. I think back then I thought, we'll start out and we'll get a little toehold, but there will eventually persecution come. And I know as recently as back in 2020, some Washington Post articles were written and whatever, and it was really just castigating home education and castigating children who came from home education as if they have warped views or whatever. And I'm just amazed that it took so long for that persecution to come, as it were. But on the other hand, reality is parents need to pause and say, okay, here I am. I need to consider what my responsibility discipleship wise for my children, and should I continue exposing my children to the tsunami of demonic deception. And that's what it is. I mean, it's never been so horrible it is now, where the rules of the game are first cultural, and that DEI culture is overriding everything in forms of academic performance, etc. So how do we help parents understand that and think about it? So I think that's part of what our discussion here is going to be centering on. I like church leaders to think about the fact that, especially in Maryland, we have the authority to organize educational institutions that offer educational programs that not only satisfy Maryland law for compulsory attendance, but at the same time exempt those schools that they raise up from the state's requisites, from the state's requirements. And I think at a point now in Maryland history where a school really can't afford, morally speaking, to be exposed to the public school rules of order that they have. I mean, even private schools are being forced into adopting these DEI activities and approvals because in some way, shape, or form.
We should probably say DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So right. This idea that, you know, we have to level the playing field, or actually not even level the playing field, lift up particular viewpoints and backgrounds because they're really, in essence, superior to others for whatever reason and et cetera. So
the question is, what can the parent do? And I know that people have said to me emphatically on occasion over the years, not everybody can homeschool. So I understand that homeschooling isn't going to be the answer to everybody, but it very well may be a substantial answer to a lot of people. And today there are some basically hybrid programs going on out there that allow that to have some classroom element for structure, and then homework is sent home and their students. I have grandchildren in Colorado that attend school 2 or 3 days a week, and the rest of their work is done at home. And that's how that school operates. And they have a good curriculum. It's actually, I think, if it's not Bible-based, it's certainly moral-based type of curriculum. So there's those different kind of things. There's assistance for families who are homeschooling with respects to co-ops and tutorials, whether it be group or private tutorials. One thing about Maryland law, I mean, actually it's true in all the states, that – these kind of assistants, that they're free from exemption. They're exempt from education law entirely. So participating in those kind of things is a really rich place for children to get that assistance. I think in the very end, the biggest question that people have to ask is, can I afford it? Can I afford it? I'm happily going to a conference this coming weekend in Kansas City, Missouri, and across the nation.
It will be past weekends by the time people hear this.
Okay. All right. Past weekends. Sorry. But anyway, in December 1 through 4th, I'll have been out to Kansas. And the reality is there's churches across the country just looking for ways. How can we help provide safe educational Christian education from the church assistance perspective? And so I believe the church community is so important in terms of providing that help. And I know that the finances with respects to sometimes two parents needing to work, those things have to be looked at. But I think that the process, you know, my encouragement is going to be, think of your children as God's heritage and think of the eternal impact of your children getting to dwell forever with God, because you created a rich discipleship environment that taught them how to trust God. And then ask God for the creative way that you can construct your personal finances so that you can provide resources for teaching your children outside the public school system.
I would just kind of like jump in there and say I'm a homeschool graduate. I graduated in 2004, and the extensive way that innovative and alternative forms of education, or just simply the means of having access to different educational mediums, and you know, you name it. So whether it's, you know, we've touched on a couple of these different things, but whether it's a co-op or a micro school or a particular, you know, homeschool enrichment class, or, you know, so many different ways, tutoring, you know, in Maryland, we have so many opportunities for dual credit programs. There are a lot of Christian universities now that have those sorts of things. So really it's expanded so amazingly, that you don't have to do this, alone. And I like what you said a couple broadcasts ago, that part of Christian discipleship is involving your children and your family in a spiritual community. And really, the interesting thing about education, and maybe why the public school has had such a profound, deep impact on the American landscape and the cultural landscape, is because public schools are communities. People are tied into their public school. Kids are tied into those schools because it is a community. And you know, we'll say the caveat here that we do understand that there are still some really positive public school communities out there. But even those public school communities that have God-fearing people or believers who are very much involved, they still have to deal with all the crud that's, you know, coming through the system. They're still part of the system. So the Christian education system really is intended to be a community. It's when you get involved, it shouldn't just be, in and of yourself. You're tying into a caring Christian community, whether, you know, it's an actual Christian day school or if it's a homeschool community. There are a lot of ways for you to be connected. Wellspring Christian Family Schools, our the ministry and that we've talked about here, we're unique in the sense that we have a community of local families that are participating in our program that are able to do things together and in different settings. But we also, being part of our program, still allows you to be connected to local educational communities as well. So there's that benefit. But I think, Gary, you know, kind of where all this still has to start, though, is for parents to be able to kind of cross the Rubicon, you know, to actually say, you know what, it starts with this recognition that, you know what, you are the person that is responsible for your children's education. You speak frequently of, is it Galatians 3, about fathers giving their children to governors and tutors.
That's 4:1, right?
So Galatians 4. So this biblical idea of the parental role in the education of children is integral to Christian discipleship. So you have to be able to come to grips, as it were, with that question first, that however you're going to do this, the buck stops here with you, mom and dad. You're the ones that got to make that choice and make that decision. And a lot of us tend to be defaulters. We just go along with what the status quo is. And, you know, a lot of Christian parents are waking up to the fact that the status quo is just not acceptable anymore. But even if, you know, like you said earlier, that can't be enough. That's not going to be enough. Just your discontent with the status quo can't be the only thing that thrusts you out here. It's got to be an embracing of that calling and vision, like you were talking about. So I'm wondering, Gary, as in the time we have left, can you share, you've been at this now, you've been in education for 50 years, over 50 years, you've been in the homeschool ministry for 40 years. What are some ways that you've seen parents kind of, overcome some of those challenges? How have you counseled and helped parents be able to see the vision? You know, what are some ways
that's a great question.
Get through that.
So I think the practical counsel will come out of the reality and the direction of the Lord once you have your vision set. I know that when I first started talking about home education with my wife, I was presently a teacher at a school. I was attending a national teachers conference in Winona Lake, Indiana, and I brought the family along just to enjoy the time together. And that particular year was the first year, maybe the only year, they offered a whole platform on homeschooling and the understanding of it. So it fired my imagination. I had a second child getting ready to enter kindergarten, and the result was, we were concerned that he's so much different than our firstborn that the school environment wasn't really constructed in a way that he was going to thrive. And so we started talking about it. And I remember my wife, you know, she was terrified. She says, well, I'm not the educator. You are. I can't do this. And so we had to go through a process of understanding. But we began with the understanding that the home, with unprofessional, as it were, quote unquote, teachers, is far more influential and formative for a child than the actual professional teachers, let's say like in a kindergarten or first grade classroom. And that's because education, by and large, is more caught than taught. So what we did is we had a good foundation that the home was a place of service. We had at this conference, we had an interview with this Secretary of Education from an African nation, Kenya. And in Kenya and a lot of these countries around the world, their educational standards begin from the Christian missionaries who came and established Christian schools as a mission base. And then those eventually turned into national state kind of educational systems. So he said that in Kenya, children don't go to school until they can walk because there's no transportation, no busing. And so some of these students live as much as a 45 minute to an hour and a half walk from the school. And so he said, you come to school when you're able to get there. And he described that often in these distant villages, remote villages, children would come to school at around age 12 and 13 because they could now be trusted to walk that far safely. And they would have to be put in kindergarten. So there they were in kindergarten And all these other little kids are around him. And he said in Kenya, they were just trying so hard to catch up with the West that parents would stick their kids in kindergarten as early as 3 and 4 years old. So it was such a huge desire to get an education when you could. But he said the remarkable thing in Kenya was that the graduates from their schools, bar none, were always the students that had started late. That it was an amazing thing because those students got there at a little more mature age, and then they had some initiative. I'm way behind. Wow. And so they attended to that lesson fairly well. So that was pretty influential to us. It's like, so these kids were kept at home for 13 years, and then that foundation was more superior than running your kids off to school right away. So I think there's just such a huge need to recognize the value of our home. So my wife agreed to homeschool 1 year with me. We had certain agreements of how it would work out, et cetera, et cetera. And we're at the end of the first year, and we're praying about whether we're going to go on. And we had this discussion, and we both understood. We said, you know, educationally speaking, we may not be able to deliver everything that our kids need. But I can't escape the big picture of God's design for the family. And I used Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was 12 and he went to the temple and he was brilliant. He asked questions smarter than the answers. And then it comes to the end where after his parents discovered they had left him behind for 3 days, they come back and get him. And, two things. They ask him, why'd you do this to us? Or her mother's mom did. They said, well, didn't you know must be about my father's business? And so there's that spiritual reality. When you're training up your children in the home with that age rape, and they recognize they belong to the father. The father has a will, and I'm called to do it. That's huge. And then what was the second part? And then he went home with his parents, and the scripture says, and he subjected himself to them. So it's a voluntary will. The vision of a young person to place themselves under authority in such a way that this is what God has planned, and so I'm going to do this. So in that deliberate subjection of Christ to the home God put him, I thought to myself, well, they weren't teachers for sure. But the scripture said then, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. And it was like, wow, what a conclusion. Well, I want my children to grow in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor with man. That's the first thing. So I told my wife, I said, well, let's just have this one vision. And this is the vision of faith. I don't understand that I don't know everything about the home. I don't know what God has designed in it, and I don't know all the things. But let's do one thing. Let's respect the wisdom and the intentionality of God and say, okay, Lord, you designed the home. We are going to give our children the most of our home that we can possibly give. And then we're going to call on you and ask for help when we have areas of need that we know we're not meeting. And so we full committed. It was like, we're going to trust God, honor the home that he's given to our kids. And we're going to raise them, you know, children, this is your heritage. Don't devalue this. Yeah. Don't knock it down. Engage, make the most of it. And so that attitude was not only transformative to us, but it also taught us we don't have to be everything. That's why there are tutorials and co-ops and other kinds of things that provide us after help. I mean, I literally prayed for my second-born son and said, Lord, he's got needs and skills way beyond our gifts. Can you provide him? And he did. It was just an amazing thing. God opened doors. And so the training that we lacked, God provided through prayer, and in our case, it was free, because everybody that came to us said, hey, would it offend you if I tutored your son? He's just really brilliant in this area, and I'm gifted in that area. Could I do that? And it was like, no. No, it was like, yes, thank you, Lord. So prayer is the follow-up of faith, and then what does God do? He blesses, and that's the vision. So if you don't have that vision to start with, and you don't value your home, you're dismissing it. And that's what Satan loves to do. He loves to say, well, you're a nobody. You have nothing to offer. And so in that process, one more quick anecdote. I had a dad on the Eastern Shore once tell me, he wouldn't come out of the room just to come to the meeting. I always do a home visit to get to know, make sure the dads know and approve of who I am if they haven't met already. And he wouldn't come out because he said, I'm just a stupid blue-collar worker. Well, I finally got his wife to drag him out, and I asked him, you know, what he did with his kids, whatever. Well, I discovered that this man was just a genius at being a dad. He took his children. He was a blue-collar worker. He had his own plumbing business. He took his children on the job and taught them stuff. And he spent time with them. And I said, did you know that's how Jesus was taught? My father works and I work. Everything the father does, he shows me. And I learn it. And it was like, what a vision. Enjoy the family that God's given you for the maximum. And that's where all the education is going to grow. Just remember one thing about education. Your child couldn't learn anything at school if they didn't have the foundation already laid at home. Because knowledge is always added from one thing to the next. And so the capacity to learn was already developed by the teacher.
And that just kind of brings it full circle, because the name of this show is Family by Design. And ultimately, that's where the crux of all this matters. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest little fox to catch is being able to do exactly that, to treasure God's design, to treasure God's design for us as individuals, as families, and even in this area of education, to treasure it and to look for opportunities to do that in really practical ways. We hope that this conversation will help you explore some of those different opportunities. Of course, Wellspring Christian Family Schools is the education ministry of Wellspring Christian Fellowship, the sponsoring organization for this program. You can learn more about Wellspring at wcfs.edu. There are other resources out there that have great information about homeschooling. Homeschool Legal Defense Association has good information. I'd also encourage you to look up the Herzog Foundation, herzogfoundation.com. Good information about Christian education, homeschooling, etc. So lots of wonderful resources out there. If you'd like to hear more about these different broadcasts, we encourage you to go to WTHU.org, look up the Audio Vault, and find Family by Design, and you'll hear all of these broadcasts. Until next time, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you'll join us again right here at Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.